In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome to the program. The Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live. We're at Maxwell's. We're in Cedarburg, and it's good to be back to Cedarburg. And it's been a hell of a start to the show. Jeff Orlowski, we're on the speakers out here. Jeff Orlowski announces to everybody and the street that we're on the air.
Well, because he knew,
like turning the red light on outside of the bar. Welcome to the program. We are glad you're on board. Thanks so much. What a week. What do you want to talk about? I mean, come on.
The last 5 minutes Mike that we McCarthy's, talked about off the
air. Yeah, Mike McCarthy's been fired. When I just wanted to start drinking, and what the hell? I have no topic tonight.
Gouge your eyes.
Mike McCarthy's been fired. You've had Winston Moss. He's been fired. Mike McCarthy comes back and addresses the team, I can only assume, after a workout on a Peloton.
There was.
And then, you've got now Joe Philbin taking over. Aaron Rodgers being criticized. He said, we got to figure out what the definition of folks is now. Because he said, I was having dinner with my folks. Pictures are being taken of him. So we can only assume that his parents weren't there, because nowhere in the building were his parents. But his folks, because it was A.J. Hawk and some other guys, well, my bad, that were actually in town. So we want to decipher all of that. And let's be honest, he knew exactly what he was saying.
Just casually drops that.
And so everybody thought, wow, that's great. His parents were in town. Everything that his brothers and such said must be completely untrue. And then you find out that, no, I guess his folks were not in town. And I don't know everything for a fact, but according to the pictures, they were nowhere to be found within the restaurant that they were. So I don't know. I mean, it's... You can just play Days of Our Lives music with this right now. By the way, Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan, the morning show co-host is here. Also, Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, is on site with us. Maxwell's here in Cedarburg. Terrific place. We are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So let me start with you, Bart. What is McCarthy gets fired. Moss gets fired. Rodgers drops the word folks. McCarthy gets to come back and readdress the team. We find out that there aren't any folks in the parental sense. That I guess they're hanging out. What's the biggest thing swirling right now?
You know, as I'm sitting here watching you talk in all your brilliance, I'm watching you talk about Rodgers and folks, and I'm thinking, that's where you're going to lead tonight, Bill? And then I'm thinking...
No, I'm just throwing a number topics that are out there.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I think you maybe lead with Aaron Rodgers, because this week, in a way, has kind of become a referendum on him. This firing of Mike McCarthy is not a surprise to him. Certainly after he played on Sunday, he had to have known it was a possibility, and he probably thought it was a possibility each of the last 5 weeks. He knew it was going to come at some point. Now the Packers, what they did is they did it in the season, so there's no offseason to work on. There's no workouts for him to go do. There's no magical recovery that he can have if the collarbone's still bothering him. It's basically, all right, Rodgers, if Mike McCarthy is really the problem for your offense and your play, we're going to find out in these four games. I think, yeah, McCarthy getting fired is the headline.
Well, here's the thing.
But Rodgers is almost the big story this week.
Rodgers has a built-in excuse, because if things don't go well, he could say, well, it was Joe Philbin running Mike McCarthy's offense.
Because there's not time to implement something new.
All you can do is change the plays and the way they're called to give them a better rhythm, but that's it.
Sure, you can have the meetings the same way, but how are you going to have – Bill, what's the average number of hours that you have for practice in the middle of an NFL season? Six?
Yeah,
at most?
It's like nothing.
You know, and one of them's a walkthrough with no shoulder pads. You don't have time to scheme a new offense and change a lot of things. So I guess I'd respectfully partially disagree with Bart, just in the sense that what I want to see is if Rodgers feels refocused, remotivated, re-energized, because I think what we're not used to seeing, the Packers were 4-6-1 going into the game against Arizona. And not that Rodgers isn't like a fun-loving guy on the field. I mean, he's no Brett Favre, but he was very somewhat oddly overly jokey with the Cardinals players, wasn't he? Like, very jovial, and it didn't feel like it was that big of a deal.
No, he was overheard saying a couple more bad passes, he's gone.
Well, maybe
I'm
that's,
kidding, by the way.
Maybe that was what Quinton somebody Williams.
You told Mason Crosby to miss the field goal. Did you hear about that?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, I mean, granted, it was a 50-yarder in a very windy condition, which I was surprised that they – I mean, they had to kick it, but I was surprised that they didn't, you know. If you look at Mason Crosby's numbers throughout his career, whenever he's had a really down season, he's bounced back. There's a lot of talk. I'm sure Mason Crosby is probably, on one hand, very – you know, sad or remorseful in the fact that that kick didn't go through, the game ends the way it did, and then Mike McCarthy subsequently fired. On the other hand, he's also probably pretty happy that he was fired because nobody's talking about Mason Crosby this week either and missing yet another kick.
I did hear you mention Mason Crosby.
I did.
I'd be surprised if we spent too much time on Crosby in the opening 5 minutes, but last time he bounced back, Bill, he was a 30-year-old kicker. Now he's 30. How quick can Google work here? Like 35?
34. He'll be 35 in September of next year.
Yeah. Wow. You recently did your Mason Crosby research.
Yes, I did.
So I just wonder if, you know, kickers – I mean, Dan Bailey. Who would have thought Dan Bailey would be a free agent?
Adam Vinatieri has been kicking. He's 48 years old or something like that. He's 45.
Yeah, but these guys sometimes – anyway, I don't know if Mason Crosby is the main problem here, but his game in Detroit certainly didn't help either 2 months ago.
Well, he missed a field goal, 49-yard field goal that set off this butterfly effect of –
Well, he was the last piece.
McCarthy and Winston Moss and all this stuff happened this week. But the play before that, Aaron Rodgers on a really poorly executed two-minute offense, I thought, where they just kind of leisurely tried to get to the 50, playing for the field goal.
Who runs the two-minute offense?
Aaron Rodgers, calls those plays. Yeah. There's 9 seconds left, so you're thinking, all right, well, if they're not going to kick it here, we've seen them do this before. We saw them do it against San Francisco. They'll just try to get a quick out, and if nothing's there, just throw it away. No, let's just chuck one down to Valdez Scantling and overthrow him like I've overthrown all my passes deep in this game, and we'll make Mason Crosby kick a 49-yard field goal in the elements. Will he make it? Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's, you know, a good track record, but he's also had an up-and-down year. A lot of this for me, you can say, well, this year's on Aaron Rodgers for not getting along with McCarthy. You can say this year's on Aaron Rodgers because the talent around him is bad. And I just look at 2016 where they were brutal. That was a bad team. That was a bad team. And Rodgers took them to the NFC Championship game. That was about as good as Rodgers has ever played.
Yeah.
Rodgers, if he plays even 60% of his 100%, Mike McCarthy did not get fired on Sunday. He is playing so poorly at times that it's you don't even – if you didn't see the name on the back of the jersey, you'd be shocked that it's actually him. So I do – I mean – this week's about McCarthy in 13 years, long time. But there's a lot of attention on Aaron Rodgers this week, too, and I think there should be. He's had a bad year, and his coach got fired in the middle of the season because of it.
Is it poor to his standards, though, guys, or is it poor?
I think it's both. I mean, stats. He's 35 throwaways, leads the league. The next closest guy is 20. He gets sacked on third down more than anyone but three quarterbacks in the league. I mean, it's not good play from him by his standards, but also by average quarterback standards.
I think he's still – I mean, I don't mean to glorify being an average quarterback in the league, but he's probably still been, at worst, a top 15 quarterback.
Well, if you look
season.
At the stats, there's only one interception.
I get
that. But
I mean,
he's gone really out of his
way
to not get
this
that
is,
second
this
interception.
This is eyeball test. For the outside looking in, if you're a reporter and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to click on his stats and I'm going to look at Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to say, wow, what a season he's having.
200-something-odd you know, passes without an interception.
Yeah. I mean, he's 3,504 yards.
TD, INT ratio.
He's averaging 7.6 yards per pass. When I look at it, I always look at two numbers. I always look at the completion percentage
and the
passer rating. And
passer rating is like what, 18th, 20th, something like that?
Well, that's a great question. It's 99.3. I know that. It's dipped under 100.
Yeah.
But his passer rating, 61.8.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, well, and to that point,
and again,
a lot
that
of,
goes
lot
back
our,
to the throwaways,
a lot of our throwaways.
But how many times have we seen him chuck it into the ground, overthrow, like you had mentioned, Marquez Valdes-Scantling? He missed Devontae Adams wide open in the end zone. Yep. He overthrew him on a short touchdown. The numbers are good, but what you're seeing is, to the eyeball test, is not good play. You're seeing, you know, the one thing he doesn't do is turn it over. Everything else this year is mediocre.
So why? What happened?
Well,
and can it be reversed?
I think on Monday night, John Kuhn was with us, and he probably hit it on the head better than anybody. He said what happened was is Mike McCarthy started off with a true West Coast style of offense, and it worked. And then what happened, you had the introduction of Greg Jennings, James Jones, Donald Driver, Jordy, a young Jordy Nelson. You had good tight ends in JerMichael Finley. You had weapons that on one-on-one ISO routes could get open. You could throw deep to Jennings. He was an apex guy. You could throw on the outside to James Jones. He was sure hands because he was not taking the double team. Jordy was obviously the sideline catch guru, the guy that ESPN came to town with Chris Carter just so they could figure out how he was so good for getting his toes in bounds and falling out of bounds. And then you had JerMichael Finley, who was a matchup nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And Donald Driver was the best at inside slant that we have seen in a long time. I mean, just chuck it to him and off he went. He was just elusive. I still remember the game, one of the last games of his career, in which he's running down, just taking like the entire San Francisco 49er team with him in those throwback retro jerseys.
Yeah.
And he was great. So you could get one-on-one. So then Mike McCarthy morphed into the let's go with the matchup ISO routes. And then if it broke down, you knew where Jordy was, you knew where Randall was, you knew where James was. You guys had instinct for that. They knew where to go.
So what year are we here now?
So
2011,
2012, 2013.
So that's when John Kuhn kind of thought
John Kuhn was looking at this, and he said, we went from being a West Coast team to morphing into an ISO team, and they've never changed. And you don't have the same talent to do ISO routes anymore. And the reason being is because the young guys, you know, DeMonte's being doubled. Jimmy Graham's got a bad knee. You lost Jordy. Randall's been out most of the season. The other go-to guy you had trust with in Geronimo's gone for the season.
Right, right.
So you're left with rookies, and you're left with a little bit of Randall, Devontae, and a banged-up Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows where they're supposed to go. You know, so in Orlovsky, Dan Orlovsky the other day, we had him on. He was breaking it down. He said, look, a guy that's supposed to run a 10-yard out to the sticks is running 11 and 12 and meshing with other guys. And it takes one guy to cover two guys.
And
it's just little things like that Rodgers doesn't trust.
Yeah.
And so that trust isn't there, so therefore he's hanging on to the ball a little bit too long because he wants to make sure he's throwing to open men and he's not throwing to spots.
And is that wide receiver inexperience?
Part of it's wide receiver inexperience. Part of it is that Rodgers has been banged up for a year and a half. He hasn't been practicing as much.
Right.
He doesn't get a chance to get into a rhythm. They didn't do anything with him in the preseason, remember, because he said, well, it's no big deal. It's all about practice.
Eight. Eight preseason snaps.
All of that, and in addition to that,
but hey, threw a touchdown
to Graham. They didn't morph a ton of that into, you know, repetition or into what would suit the new guys, and they left it the same. So, in essence, Mike McCarthy, yes, as a play caller, you're saying, I get it. You should have changed things up. You know, rather than scrubbing the playbook, you should have scrubbed the scheme.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, Aaron Rodgers keeps saying it's all about trust, but he's not trusting his guys. And he's so scared of throwing an interception, he's also not taking chances. Because sometimes, go back to the Bears game. He came back. He had to get rid of the ball. He gave his guys quick opportunities, and they made the most of it with yards after the catch, and they took it to the house. Aaron Rodgers is credited for a 72-yard touchdown pass, but we know 55 of it was actually Randall Cobb just outrunning everybody else. So the point being is it's a combination of things. It's not all at Rodgers' feet, but the fact that he's the one that said it's blocking, he's the one that said it's route running, he's the one that said it's scheme and blamed it on everybody else, and, oh, yeah, I got to make a couple throws. But we could all see guys were open underneath, didn't throw to him. Always looking down. And he says it's because of play calling. But if he's the smartest guy and that's the reason you paid him and he, quote, throws guys open, then why can't he can't make the offense go? This is what I'm saying. There's so much crap that's been swirling around this offense and so much BS that we've been fed. Nobody knows really what's going on. What I can see just to the eyeball test is don't look at the stats of Aaron Rodgers. Look at the eyeball test, and I'll tell you right now, the man is off.
Well, I'll tell you, whatever we agree on, like as a whole Packer community, if we say it's 20% Rodgers, it's 20% McCarthy, it's 20% offensive line, it's 20% injuries, whatever we agree on is going to be too low for Aaron Rodgers. He deserves more of the blame than even we will give him blame for.
I see, I do that, and the reason being is because he was also the guy that sucked up all the credit. And he didn't deserve all the credit. He's a terrific quarterback. He's a great quarterback. But going back to the Bears game, he came back, got rid of the football, guys made plays.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it was a 70-yard touchdown pass and he threw a 20-yard out and Randall took it the rest of the way, give Randall all the credit.
You play like the second half of the Bears game, you're 10-2.
Yeah,
exactly.
Why didn't they get back to that, though?
Rodgers didn't want to.
He didn't want to just throw it quick? I mean,
now he says he can't change.
Then it is the coaching.
Let me ask you this.
He has to be coachable, but you also have to have someone who will coach him.
Who do you believe? Rodgers says he can't change plays at the line of scrimmage, only changes it every now and then, and runs a two-minute offense. Mike McCarthy and everybody else on the inside say, no, Rodgers changes plays all the time.
I believe.
Changes the entire play, changes Rodgers certain routes. Gone. I mean, there's some
what
new,
I was told by numerous
to
players was Mike calls the play, Aaron calls the play, and then Aaron grabs a guy. Says Marquez or Devontae or somebody else says, I'm coming to you. So he's already determined who, he's not going to look at anybody else. I'm coming to you. You do this.
Well, then that's
because Lance Kendricks told us that you run around, you turn around, and there's a guy standing there that wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, that's what we've
but
seen
that's
that
what But that's what Rodgers wanted him to do.
Well, that's really, really, really changed them in the last couple of years. Because that, I mean, and that's why I just wonder if it is wide receiver inexperience versus the other things, Bill, because that – I don't recall other years, including last year, where we did see two receivers so close to each other on the same route.
Right.
Do you? I mean, I feel like this is a new phenomenon this year. And it's probably because they're playing two rookies, not high draft pick rookies, fifth and sixth round pick rookies, involved as Scantling and an Equanimeous St. Brown, that, I mean, I'm with you guys. He's clearly not playing. And I agree, you have to look past some of the stats. But, yeah, there has to be something to bring him back. And actually, I mean, we can take this on the other side of the break, Bill, if you want. What is your guys' confidence level, though, that he can go back to being the guy he's been and why he's a $35 million per year quarterback? Where, I mean, are you 100% confident he's going to become that again? Have we seen the best he's ever going to be? I mean, how firm of an ass-kicking does he need by a new coach to become that guy again? Or
let's do that. We'll talk about that when we come back. Late for break, but we'll go ahead and take it. We're broadcasting live at Maxwell's here in Cedarburg. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Out here earlier today, we had some great food. The mushroom and Swiss burger is absolutely awesome. I know you usually do the boneless out here and
go face first
into that. So there's an electric chair in your future later on tonight. And I know Bart's going to eat something because it's free. So we got a lot more hanging on out here at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Mentally, football, the offense, working with the defense and the special teams, everybody giving their best effort, coming together, supporting one another, knowing that it's not going to be perfect. I said to Tremont Williams, and I think I maybe already said this once, but, you know, it's not easy to make every single block. When you're an offensive lineman, it's not, you know, it's very, very difficult for a corner to never allow a completed pass in his direction. So we're not expecting that it's going to be perfect. Our opponent won't do that either.
There you go, Joe Philbin, and all that he has to say and talk about in regards to this team and coming out of the shoot against the Atlanta Falcons upcoming this weekend. Joining us out here, Maxwell's in Cedarburg. That's where you can find us. You got Bart Winkler. He is next to us from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. Also, our Green Gold analyst, Paul Emick. So we're sitting here talking about Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, he's a topic of conversation. I mean, he's a guy that gets a lot of the glory, so you expect to be discussed. And then you throw on top of it, oh, by the way, you're a $170 million man. So that comes with a lot of scrutiny. And if you think it doesn't, sorry about your luck. You know, thank God you don't live in New York where they'd be chilling you right now. That being said, you asked the question, is all this fixable? I think...
Well, and what's your confidence that he will become, quote-unquote, Aaron Rodgers again, the guy we all think...
I still think now, it's been 2 years. I mean, he was having a hell of a year at the beginning of the season last year before he went down with the injuries.
Yes,
but it's been a year and a half, 2 years, kind of in essence, since he ended up getting hurt. And the question is, okay, first and foremost, do you think the collarbone is affecting him? It didn't heal right. Maybe it's not as strong. Maybe he's got some throwing problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it the knee? I don't know. I know next year this is going to be the year that he probably works harder than ever because he's going to have something to prove. There is going to be a ton of scrutiny on him, and we all know how he wears that kind of as a chip on his shoulder. So whoever they get, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be flowing. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking now again – to the front office to say, look, you wanted me here, you wanted to pay me, you know, great. He took a lot of the money, so if they don't have enough money to go out and get guys, that's partly his fault. But they're going to have Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, most likely Nick Perry, do you jettison Brian Bulaga? But if you do, you've got to find guys to replace them. You can't just say we're going to do it through the draft. Otherwise, you might as well officially call it a rebuild with around Aaron Rodgers. To me, I think you got to go get at least 2 to 3 free agents. One or two that are of name that are going to help you immediately, and you're not going to overpay to get them, but you're going to have to go spend some money, and then you may have to make a trade or two, and then you got to hope that whoever you get in the draft hits and hits right now, and in addition to that, you got to get Jair Alexander to continue to progress. Blake Martinez to continue to progress. Jake Ryan comes back off the IR and he progresses. Oren Burk progresses. You got to hope that Kyler Fackrell maybe is the real deal. Mm-hmm. You get Mike Daniels back. Kenny Clark, I think they've got some nucleus here. But the bottom line is, whatever you do, you got to get an offensive line. You got to get one more wide receiver to replace Randall Cobb. And you got to run the damn football. And then maybe find another tight end if Jimmy Graham isn't going to be, you know, back. But, you know, there's a lot of options, but there's going to be a lot of money on the table for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, so that's it? Just that laundry list of things is all they have to fix.
Well, you can't fix all of them, but you've got enough holes there that you can legitimately say we can't just do it through the draft.
I expect 100% for Brian Gutekunst to be extremely aggressive in free agency. Between he and Mark Murphy, Bill, I said this to you the other day. This is so far removed from the Ted Thompson Packers, where they were very conservative, long-leashed, you know, almost never doing anything to make a headline. And now the Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst Packers are cutthroat, and they are aggressive. And, you know, they'll trade Clindix for a fourth-round pick. They'll pretty much give Ty Montgomery away for a conditional seventh. They'll cut Winston Moss 6 hours after a tweet and then say, well, it really wasn't the tweet. They'll let Mike McCarthy go on a Sunday night on Aaron Rodgers' birthday. You know, they'll cut Whitehead, and this is the new way to do it. And I think between signing Mo Wilkerson this offseason, signing Jimmy Graham this offseason, this is a whole – we have to almost, like, erase all of our expectations pre-January 2018 in terms of how much will they spend or do they want to go in free agency, because it's a totally – they're not at all operating like Ted Thompson's Green Bay Packers.
No, I agree with that.
I feel like we have to just erase the last 15 years before that, because in terms of expectations. So Bill, yeah, I think they should cut Nick Perry and pay him $11 million to go away. And I think they should pay $3 million for Brian Bulaga to go away. And I would cut Jimmy Graham. If you can find a way to free up $75 million in the cap, which they are able to do, Brian Gutekunst is going to make every headline this offseason, and I know that sounds crazy, but again, rewire your brains to not think Ted Thompson. Start to think this is a totally new team that does things much, much more cutthroat, much more aggressively.
It's so weird because when you watch this team, especially on Sunday, they're so bad.
They're terrible.
But they're really also not that far away if they do the right things and the right guys progress, and a lot of that is because it goes back to, again, Aaron Rodgers. And yes, they are not a good football team, but if Aaron Rodgers, I think if he was at an MVP-type level this season, worst they'd be is 7-5. Worst they'd be. I mean, they're probably 8-4, maybe 9-3. If Aaron Rodgers is playing like he did before the injury last season, maybe 2 years ago. So if he can play, I always say this, the Packers have, for the last 10 years, built a team that is pretty average. But yeah, if Aaron Rodgers plays elite, then they're really good. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play elite, and even if he plays really good, then the Packers team is below average. And if Aaron Rodgers plays like this,
McCarthy's fired.
Well, then you can see that they're terrible. Yeah. And that's what they are right now. But there are avenues, at least. As much as the cap that Rodgers takes up, and he does, and people are going to say he shouldn't have signed the contract, and it maybe came one off season too soon. There was some fake urgency there on Rodgers' side.
Agreed.
But there is still a lot of room and a lot of outs. So if you're looking to have an instant rebuild, I don't think it's as dire as maybe some other teams would be in this situation.
I framed this with you the other day like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, you know, Bart was saying, for as bad as the team is, they're not that bad. If I was saying, you know, let's do an expansion draft and you get to protect 8 players, or you get to say, hey, you get to start your team with these 8 guys. And I told you, hey, you get to have, okay, new expansion team. You get Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, Corey Linsley, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, and Jair Alexander. You get those 8 guys.
Right.
That's a pretty darn good way to start your team. The problem seems to be between the 12th and, well, 53rd player on the roster, and how much of that you have to kind of rewrite on the fly. But I've heard it said both ways. I still don't believe, as much as I've heard good arguments on the side, I do not think the Packers are, in overall looking at it, lacking for talent. When you have a top 8 roster as good as that, I just can't. I don't know what could sway me the other way when you have 8 to 10 guys as good as those guys that I just named are.
Looking at salary cap for next year, if you would cut Brian Bulaga, now remember, what they have committed to the salary for next year. That's not including like Randall Cobb and stuff because he's an unrestricted free agent. They're starting out with about $15 million under the cap. They're $5 million now.
Right.
It's going to go up maybe 10. They'll have about $15 million. They've got 150 something committed already. They still have to sign other players. You could end up with about 27 to 30 million, depending right in there, as to what they're going to have total amount of money to play with.
If you do nothing.
You're gonna have to cut Bulaga.
No, you get way more than that. Oh, I did the math the other day. You can get as much as
get $8 million back with Bulaga,
and 11 with plus 11 with Perry.
Right.
Plus 11.
No, you only get 3 with Perry. Perry's got his salary's 11, but if you cut him,
but with his roster,
you'll get $3 million.
So the way I saw it was like with his roster bonuses, like he gets like on March 3rd, he gets like $5 million. If he's gone on January, mid-February.
Right.
You'd pay him 11 on your cap.
Right.
But his total money due in 2019 is $22 million. So there's, I mean, it's you're
right.
I saw it as an $11 million savings when I was breaking it down the other day. But I mean,
well, if that's the case, then you would get an additional $8 million from what I was figuring. So you're talking maybe $33
million. All right, now cut Graham.
You're not cutting Graham.
Are you sure?
His dead cap space is bad.
So is Nick Perry's, though.
Yeah, no, but you don't have anybody else. You don't have Mercedes Lewis and Lance Kendricks. They're both unrestricted free agents.
I guess it depends what you think of Graham. I mean, is it even worth $3 million to have the guy in your cap? I don't know. I mean, he's not good.
I'm too hungry to do math, so.
His cap hit next year, you gain $5
million. I mean, I'll take it.
You'd gain $5 million. You're going to pay the man $12.666 million. Yeah, if you cut him, you gain $5 million.
And there's
have to pay him $7.3 million
do
nothing.
Like you have to pay Nick Perry $11 million to do nothing.
I just don't think they'll cut Jimmy Graham. I think they'll try to get him healthy and keep him around for at least one more year before they cut him loose.
Fine, but what grade are you giving Jimmy Graham so far through 12 games as a Packer?
A C at best.
That seems kind. I'm going D, Bart.
Well, his run blocking's poor. We all know that.
Poor. You're very nice, Jimmy Graham.
But as a target, he's getting opportunities. He's not the red zone threat. I'll go C+.
Wow.
Let's do this. We'll continue to talk about the salary cap going into next year. We'll continue to discuss his team. Also, start to look at what's coming up on the horizon. And what do you expect over the next 4 games? What are you looking for specifically? We'll get into that as well. We are broadcasting live at Maxwell's. We're here in Cedarburg. Just kind of hanging out. It's brought to you by Bud Light, our good friends there. Our street team is on site as well. So if you want to come out and say hello, feel free to do so. Got a lot more coming up right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, obviously just sequencing the calls the right way. And, hopefully they work when we call them.
Welcome back. That is Joe Philbin talking about his Green Bay Packers, the new head coach, the interim head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Welcome back. We're broadcasting live here at Maxwell's. We're in Cedarburg. That's where you can find us. Got Paul Emig alongside, also Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Before we get into we'll talk about it more after the top of the hour about what you're expecting over the next 4 games. We're going back to this whole salary cap thing real quick. So Paul, you're breaking it down. So
math.
Let's just say, just kind of doing the fuzzy math here, anywhere between $33 to $38 million. What do you think that's going to get you in today's open market? Because you still have to sign everybody, your draft choices and everything as well, although it's only going to eat up maybe a few million bucks. But nevertheless, what is it going to get you?
I don't know, Bill. I mean, first off, everybody, I think most people would know that you NFL contracts aren't like, you know, you make $13 million this year and $13 million and then $13 million and then $13 million. You can structure it in so many different ways to hide the money and bonuses and in dead cap. And there's, you know, it's a very intricate system, unlike NBA, which is much more straightforward with, you know, annual raises and everything. But Tremont Williams, okay, you can save $5.2 million if you want to cut Tremont. Now, I like Tremont Williams. You only gonna have a $1.6 million dead cap. Would I rather pay him 6.5, or would I rather eat up 1.6 and free up another $5 million? I'd free up the $5 million. Let's get crazy. You want to save $4 million and cut Crosby and start over there? I mean, if you are rebuilding, or a soft rebuild or a fast rebuild, we always talk about the same guys, Bulaga and Nick Perry and you know, to a lesser extent, Jimmy Graham. But you can keep going down the line. You can keep going and say, oh, save $5 million with Tremont. Okay, let's save $4 million with Crosby. So it just depends where this direction goes. I mean, you want to cut? Do you really want Jason Spriggs on this team? For God's sake! I mean, he's just awful. You want to save 1.5 and cut Spriggs? Cut Spriggs. You know, there's a lot of dead weight on this team that is just being wasted, Bill. And Ted Thompson almost never carry dead cap because it's bad math. It just doesn't make sense. But when you have this many bad
but
contracts,
he also carried $20 million in cap room every year.
He kept rolling it over because he was so conservative. So you can do a lot with it in terms of how you structure it. So, like, let's say, Bill, let's just call it $35 million you have to spend. It's not like, well, that means I can only get one guy for $12 million, one guy for $11 million, and another guy for $12 million, and now it's gone. You can front load. You can back load. I mean, even look at Rodgers' contract. It kind of ebbs and flows, and it's a fascinating way to try to do a math equation. But, I mean, even Jimmy Graham this year, his cap number, Jimmy Graham this year, $5.9 million. Next year, $12.6 million. You know,
right.
It's just – it's an odd way to kind of structure it, but it is the life of the NFL thing. They are not back. They are so anyway, Bill, there's a lot of ways you can structure it to free it up. But all being said, I think you're going to have a very aggressive, very headline-driven, very fun sports radio type of offseason because I would anticipate it being a very aggressive. What have we seen that wouldn't prove that it's going to be aggressive, that Murphy and Gutekunst are going to go slashing and they're going to go cutthroating, and I think it's a good thing. I think they need to – hard rebuild this thing overnight if they can.
They're coming up in this year, you're going to have a lot of guys.
Ziggy
Ansah from Detroit is going to be out there. DeMarcus Lawrence from Dallas, the defensive end, is going to be out there. And Dominican Sue is going to be out there. He's 32 years old. Like we mentioned, Clay Matthews is going to be out there. You're not going to pick up Larry Fitzgerald. Maybe Earl Thomas out of Seattle.
Coming back from the injury.
Do you want to take a chance on him? And then you get down to Kareem Jackson, the 31-year-old out of Houston. He'd be a little bit cheaper. $8.5 million is what he's making right now. You've got a number of different guys. Sheldon Richardson out of Minnesota. Would you go after him? Making $8 million. He's looking to capitalize. Oh, he's 28 years old, kind of in the prime of his career. He's looking to make more money, not less money.
The other thing we could look at is they also have – we know they have two first-round picks, and we're assuming they're going to use those. Maybe they package those. Maybe they make some trades for guys. Because they're going to have a lot of empty holes, especially if now in the last 20 minutes we're cutting half the roster. And now we're cutting, like, anybody that's even close to Rodgers' age.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Who's Rodgers going to talk to in the locker room?
Well, this was the same thing that Brett Favre went through.
Yeah.
You know, the reason he started hanging out in Red Batty's office.
And now Rodgers and Favre talk and they're buddies, and it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, let's do this. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, getting back on track. It is the Bill Michaels Huddle broadcasting live out here at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. Come on out and say hi. Terrific place. This is for Cedarburg. This is cheers of Cedarburg for anything else. I mean, this is fantastic. Come on out and say hello. We are brought to you again by Bud Light. We got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are glad to have you. Thanks, as always, for hanging out as we are broadcasting live out here at Maxwell's in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Come on out and say hello and hang out with us tonight. We're here for another hour and 10 minutes or so, and going to be breaking down the rest of the NFL coming up here in about 35 minutes from now, as a matter of fact. Here with Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan out of Milwaukee. Our green and gold analyst, Paul Emig, is here as well, talking everything that is the Green Bay Packers. And we'll get into the remainder of the season coming up after the top of the hour. I want to get a big, good, long discussion as to what we're looking for as the season culminates with the next four games. But going back to what this team is lacking, I had said when John Kuhn and I were talking on Monday, we went through the strength. I think we can all believe.
Well, you did the other 58 minutes.
Yeah, because I was waiting for that. Yeah, thank you very much. So, you offensively speaking, the right side of your offensive line is the weakness. I like Corey Linsley, Lane Taylor, and David Bakhtiari.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown. Jamon Moore's got to show me a little bit more before I can really say I really like him. I think he's got a ton of tools.
He's got to show me a ton.
He's got to show a ton. He's got to have better hands. He's got to be in the right place at the right time.
There was an 82. I saw 82 the other day, and I forgot who he was.
Yeah. Well, there's Davante Adams. Geronimo Allison's going to come back. So you're going to have a good, solid wide receiving core that you're going to be able to work with and throw to.
Yep.
You're probably going to pick up another one or maybe even two in the draft. because the more weapons you can put around Aaron Rodgers, the better. And then in addition to that, depending on what they do, I still think they hang on to Jimmy Graham, but they have him for another year. I don't know if they're going to want to pay him 12.6. You very well may be right on that, Paul. They may just cut him loose after this year, but I would say they hang on to him for one more season. I think that left side of your line, Corey Linsley, Lane Taylor are good. I think the right side isn't. You finally found a good running back tandem, yeah. And maybe you draft one more running back or you find a free agent out there that's coming on the cheap. Yep. Okay. So that's your offense. Defensively speaking.
So let's go. You want to replace right tackle and right guard.
Right tackle, right guard.
You want to add some depth at wide receiver and running back.
A wide receiver and maybe a backup running back somewhere.
So again.
But you're going to have to figure out your tight end position for the fact
that tight end, sorry.
Lance Kendricks and
you do need
and Mercedes Lewis are both unrestricted free agents.
You need to once again, for the third straight offseason since you let Jared Cook go, restart at tight end, which
were
sucks.
There any tight end free agents on that list? Or
no? Nobody in any of
nobody
these top 25
any significance.
Lists. Yeah, no. You have to draft one, and tight ends historically take a while to develop.
One of the and we thought it was good at the time, so I can't sit here and say that we called it, but one of the biggest mistakes of this franchise was, again, letting Jared Cook go for an extra $1 million and bringing in Martellus Bennett, that jackrabbit idiot, And it hasn't been the same since.
So, Bill, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, like, you just went through the offense, and then you were going to jump to the defense. But I would just say, like,
Put it this way, though.
There's
offense,
not a lot to replace on offense.
It's not a lot to replace.
There's parts,
It's survivable if Aaron Rodgers is right.
Correct.
Okay, so then you
Everything
move to the defensive side of the football. Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, still very solid.
Great. Dean Lowry's underrated.
Dean Lowry is underrated, but I want to see. What you need on defense – you need three Pro Bowlers.
You need three dudes.
You need three grown-ass men.
Well, you got Kenny Clark. I'd put
Kenny, Clark's, is
Kenny
a,
Clark's
is,
on the verge.
And Jair Alexander is.
And Jair Alexander
could
be there.
I think they have two absolute
studs. You need a pass rusher or a knock-the-hell-out-of-you safety.
Well, I don't think those exist in the NFL anymore. They've been extinct
by Roger Goodell. You need a rusher. You need an additional guy.
Yes,
and Nick Perry is not it.
Really?
Nick Perry should be on a milk carton.
Is.
And should be on Wednesdays. No disrespect to anybody in our sanitation department, but he should be picking up your trash on Wednesdays, Bart.
He made too much
just
money.
Just an FYI.
He made a lot of money for being a very
Yes, he did.
Even milk cartons are looking
player.
For Nick Perry.
Yeah. Exactly. So Nick Perry's nowhere to be found.
That's a good job.
You still need probably one, if not two, outside or inside linebackers. I don't know how Oren Burks or Jake Ryan are going to fill the bill here.
Jake Ryan's free agent.
So in that case, you're still going to need to draft another defensive back. I'm hoping that Kevin King comes back, proves me wrong, because I'm already saying, look, the guy's a bust. He's a fragile bust.
Let's spend some time on Kevin King later, because I think
The interesting thing, too, is everything that what you need. You still need a coach, too. And you need a coach.
And, by the way, you got to put them together.
And you need a coach.
And then you got to figure, are you keeping Mike Pettine?
I would like to.
Then you talk about special teams. I would assume you're going to bring in competition to kicking.
Another Giorgio Tavecchio run.
Is it going to be to keep Mike Pettine? Because if Murphy's in on the coach's decision,
Murphy's.
And does the coach have the power to keep his assistants?
I think what
does
they do
Gutekunst
is
have the power to keep his assistants.
I always wondered about getting yelled at by a guy who comes out of a bathroom.
Yeah,
just so you know. Anyway, long story short,
you want a headset next time?
Yeah, I think what they'll do is whoever the new head coach is going to come in. They're going to ask him his thoughts and say at least interview Pettine. I think he did a pretty good job with what he had to work with.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, Mike Pettine may just be the best guy for the job.
Yeah.
So he may get it anyway. But I think
if you don't keep Dom Capers for 10 years as a franchise and then Mike Pettine for one.
Right.
You can't. You just can't do that.
And it does work. I mean, if you want to cross sports, David Stearns was said you have your manager already here. It's Craig Counsell, and that's worked out pretty well.
Right.
It's not like it's impossible across sport lines to say, sorry, but this is your guy.
Right.
I don't know. If that becomes a deal breaker for the head coach you want to hire, then you don't do that. But, no, so, I mean, Bill, as you were going through the roster, they need another couple studs on defense. They have some patches to fill in on offensive line. To Bart's point, they need a coach.
They need a coach.
And they need Aaron Rodgers to play like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because as long as he is taking up 15-16% of the cap, you are always going to be talking about filling in around the edges. Unlike our Bears fan friend here who was talking to us during the break, you have Trubisky making like 4% of the cap.
Yeah.
Think how much more opportunity you have to fill out the rest of the roster. So You can fine-tune all these parts, you guys, but if Rodgers is a league-average quarterback for the next 5 years, this team is screwed. They
Rodgers,
just are. You can't be great if Rodgers is average.
Rodgers is going to be over 14.5% next year.
A lot.
I think it jumps to 16.5%, close to 17% the year after, and it's up over 17-18% the year after
You
that.
Have to get everything else right.
Correct.
Everything else. And there are so many things.
Because you
right
don't
now,
have money to cover it up.
You don't have money to cover it up. Unlike, which is why, Bill, rookie quarterbacks win championships.
If they're any, if they're worth their weight
at
all.
Not rookie, but rookie contract.
Right. If they're worth their weight at all and they've got a good defense to back them up, you can win a Super Bowl.
You can win a Super Bowl
like
Nick Foles.
Or you can at least go to a Super Bowl. Nick Foles, I completely
agree. You can win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Like, this is, you know.
There you go. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. 1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. We are broadcasting live at Maxwell's here in Cedarburg. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.